Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Here we are again. It's the first day of the week. This is Yaina with another edition of the Yehuda Project. I am glad to be here today. Of course, I am juggling two things today, so if I go on mute for a minute, just bear with me. I will be back. How is everybody doing? Brother Uriah, if you can hear me, please push one. Shalom, shalom, everyone. All praises to the high and holy name of Israel. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Well, how is your feast day going? You know, it's just, when we, it's something about the feast days, boy. When we go through these feast days, it just seems like it's just as solemn and peaceful. You know, and it's the same day. It's the same 24 hours in the day, but it just seems like everything is just at a peace. You know, if that makes any sense. It's at a peace, and it's a beautiful thing. I am really excited about this. You know, every year they come along, is a year we get closer to going home. And I want to make an announcement. If I have to put you on hold for a moment, I will be right back. I'm kind of juggling two things at one time today, but I will be back. Just bear with me, you know, and we can go from there. But all things are well. I ran into some information that I wanted to kind of share, you know, with you guys and to really open up the mic so that you guys can tell me, you know, this whole banking situation is crazy. The things that is going on with this banking situation and how they're having to bail them out and how it's just crazy. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things to talk about today. I ran up on a video. We were talking about going to Ghana yesterday. I ran up on a couple that actually moved to Africa, and the information that they gave was, to say the least, very interesting. You know, I wanted to play that today. I have a lot of things that I want to share with you, but I wanted to know, somebody had a question yesterday, and I hung up the phone. I heard you after I hung up, and so area code 717, if you want to push 1 and let me know what that question was, I'll be more than happy to answer it. 717, you got a question you wanted to ask yesterday, please feel free to push 1 so that we'll be able to help you if you have something. I think it was about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You know, we just eat a piece of unleavened bread every day. You don't have to eat a big piece, just a small piece for 7 days. And then once that happens, you can bring the yeast back into your house after Saturday. After the sun goes down on Saturday, you can go back to biscuits and whatever else it is, bread that you like to eat or whatever. So, you know, this week is strictly fruits and vegetables and, you know, whatever meat you like, if you eat meat, if not, whatever. But, you know, we can't have any bread, any yeast, any cookies, any biscuits, anything that has yeast in it. You know, these are the Most High's holy days. These are His high holy days. These are the days that He commissioned us to keep. So I'm really excited that we're getting a chance to do this again, you know, for everybody to really be able to understand what they mean and that it's not just a fashion show. Hold on, here we go. 717, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yeah, I only wanted to ask, like, during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, if we were able to shop and cook.
You can cook. You on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you're not supposed to buy anything because this is our high holy day on the first day. So, like, you can do it tonight once the sun goes down. You can shop, you can cook, you can do all that for the rest of the week. Now, when we come to the last day of the Holy Convocation, we don't buy anything, but we can cook. You can cook throughout the whole thing. So next Saturday, which is the Sabbath, which we don't buy anything anyway, once the sun goes down on the Sabbath day, I think next Saturday is 7 days, you know, then you'll be able to go ahead and do what you want to do, but I'll count them up to make sure because we started it on Saturday night. So we should end it, I think, on Saturday night. You let me know if that's 7 full days.
All right. Thank you.
My pleasure, darling. Okay. All right, anybody else have any questions or comments or anything? Like I said, I'm kind of juggling two things right now. So if I go offline for a minute or you don't hear me for a minute, just bear with me. I will be back on the line and everything. But how is your days going? How's everything going? Because, you know, I listened to this couple talk about Africa. They talked about the health industry. They talked about the food industry. They talked about the culture. They talked about everything because they actually made the move. They went over there. And it was very interesting to hear. And this is not the first time that I've heard this. This is not the first time that people have told me this, you know, because people go running off of the assumption of everyone else. And then when they get over there, they realize that it's not what it's cracked up to be. And, you know, they end up finding themselves in a very different situation. You know, there's no country, let me say this, there's no country like the United States. None. All of them are different in their own right. All of them do things different from their financial centers to their health centers to their social centers to, you know, the rights of the citizens and the individuals. There is no country like the United States. So don't believe the pictures when you see the big, beautiful greenery and the giraffes walking around. It's still, it's not like here. It's just not. As much as we don't want to be here, to be honest with you, this is about the best thing smoking. And I'm going to be honest. In terms of health care, in terms of, you know, of being able to build a life for yourself and having, because a lot of, they said a lot of the Africans were getting jealous because the people from the other countries was coming over there buying up all their land and stuff. They was upset. And rightfully so. We feel the same way when they let other people from other countries come in. And you know, they give them access to resources. But, you know, that's what happens when people migrate to certain places. I mean, it is. That's what they do. And everybody was, you know, it's just a very different situation. Very different, you know. So she talked about how, you know, she had herbs and stuff like she, I think they were vegetarians. They ate ate as vegetarians here. But when they got over there, they were trying to do the same thing, but they didn't have the same vegetables. She said, and what saved them was that she brought most of her herbs and stuff because she's an herbalist and she knew how to heal her family with herbs and stuff. And when she ran out of them things, she didn't know how to get them back because some of them were named something different. So, you know, it's a very, that's why I tell people, you better make sure that's Yah. And I'm not knocking it, I'm not. But I'm just saying, make sure that's Yah. Because a lot of people go running thinking they're going to have a better life because everybody's got the same skin tone. That's not the case. That is just really not the case. You know, so we have to really, 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 really be careful with, you know, the places that we go in because, you know, we can't blend in not too many places. You know, and that's some serious stuff, and it's like, man, you know, this is really happening. But, you know, people make the move. You know, they go over there thinking it's going to be a certain way, and it's just not. So, you know, those are some of the things that I wanted to talk about today. I wanted you to hear, you know, for yourself, because when we first came in, it, everybody was doing the right of return to Israel. They thought it was open to everybody. Like they said, oh, it's time for the Jews to come back. You know, this is the right of return. And my son was like, we need to get ready to go. Everybody get ready to go. We finna go. I said, no, I'm not going nowhere. You know, don't get hyped over the pictures. And then all the other stuff came out of what was really going over there, how they don't have citizenship. You know, some of them may have it now. They might. You know, how they were running their own organization over there and the scandals that was going over there. It was a mess when it first came. It was a real mess. You know, and you know, they really don't have a right to be over there. They, you know, people go over there because they want to be there, and they fly over there with a round-trip ticket, and then just get lost and never seen again. They just get lost, you know. Who wants to live in a land like that? That's your land. Why you got to live like that? You know, that's just how I feel about it. But some people have gone over there and stayed. Some people have gone and came back. You know, so it's a very interesting thing. You know, it's taking on a culture of its own. This whole we return in Second Exodus wilderness, it's taking on a whole culture of its own. So you know, it's very interesting to watch, extremely interesting to watch. You know, but I just try to tell everybody, you know, be sound, be vigilant, do your homework, do your research. You know, you're taking your kids to a place, you don't know what the education system is like. And you know what I look at? I look at the fact that most of them trying to come here. You know? We trying to go there and they trying to come here. So, you know, you got to really look at the whole thing. Really. You got to really look at the whole thing and weigh it out because it's something that, you know, we gonna have to be able to deal with. It's not everything we think it is. It never has been. We just have to have faith in Yah. We gotta wait on Him. And like right now, we got it pretty good compared to most. We do. I mean, I'm just gonna be honest. I mean, I lived abroad for some years. You know, I was in the United Kingdom, and it's a beautiful place. Don't get me wrong. It is a beautiful place. However, ain't no place like here. Totally different. Now, if I had grew up in that place and that was home, that would have been different. But to go from one country to another and live in that country, very different. Very different. And it's a beautiful place. It really is. Beautiful countryside. I mean, beautiful place. You know, but they do things extremely different. You know, and it's just, you have to be able to be made aware of that. You know, my children were very small. You know, they didn't really know what was going on. I mean, they knew they were there, but now they look back on it being grown. They don't remember, but I do. You know, and it's like, wow. You know, it was an experience to have, but I'm going to be honest. When I came back to the United States, I got on my knees and kissed the ground because I was glad to be back. Because no matter how good it is, there's no place what we consider home to be. And we know that this is not our original home, but this is all we've known. You know, so some of you all have been military people and have traveled all over. Some people are not military people and have traveled all over. You know, it's very interesting to see. Different places, different countries. Yes, you can go and live rich in some countries, but everybody else around you is poor. And, you know, you got to figure out how that's going to fan out. You know, when you living rich and everybody else around you is poor, you know, they ain't going. Some people may not treat you like a king or a queen. They might treat you like an invader. So you have to be, you have to weigh out the pros and the cons always as to where you're going, who you're going with, how you're going to fare. You know, because the visit is one thing, but to live, that's something totally different. That's totally different. You know, so, you know, those are the things that, you know, we have, you know, those people that are considering moving have to really take into consideration. And if Yah told you to do it, you know, one thing about it, he got you covered. If he said do it, he got you covered. You know, that's real talk. He has got you covered. All you got to do is just step out on faith and just go on over there, you know. And I know some people that have said they were told that was their calling, that they were supposed to go. But they ain't left yet. And it's like, you know, and I don't know. I ain't saying nothing bad one way or the other. Let me stop. I'm just saying, you know. You got to make your call and your election sure, because you're going to be over there alone. And you're not in the place where the Most High planted you. See, one thing about this transatlantic slave trade, it was very strategically planned. It wasn't just by chance you was here and you wasn't in Brazil. It wasn't by chance that you came here and you wasn't in Germany. He strategically put the people where he wanted them to be. Now, if you change your location without his approval, that's something totally different. You know, we know this monster over here. We do. We know it. You know, so I just, you know, it's very interesting that we have to be able to get this information out to the people to let them know. You know, because now everybody wilderness bound. Everybody going to, we on our way to the wilderness. The wilderness, the wilderness. And it's like, okay. We'll see, you know, but hey, I love my people. I really do. You know, we saw some things. Sister Saniah gave me some insight on some things that did my heart good just to see the people. We think it's a little bit of people because we just think it's just us, and it's not. It's so many people everywhere. It's, you know, Yah is really, he has really gathered his people. It's people everywhere. You know, all praises to his high and holy name. I mean, they doing all kind of stuff. You know, they making all kind of arts and crafts and T-shirts and sweatshirts and all kind of stuff. So it's out there, out there. It's they out there. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. You know, but one thing about it, the church is waking up, and when the church wake up, it's over. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. When they wake up, when they really wake up, it's a wrap. So they coming full-fledged. I'm serious. Full-fledged. They coming. I mean, you know, I'm there. They just going to, they coming with all they have, especially people who have given their all and are doing everything that they could possibly do. When they wake up, it's a wrap. They coming full-fledged. I'm talking about full media teams, marketing teams, all kind of stuff. All kind of things. But y'all know what he doing at the appropriate time, when the time comes. You know, people going to step up to the plate and do what it is they need to do, what they know how to do. That's why I told you guys, are in a very good position, a good place, because you got skills. You got skills. I mean, you really do have skills, and I can't wait till you all get ready to show those skills. You know, when that fear goes, well, whatever it is that's holding you back, you know, and when you're allowed to really platform those skills the way you can, because, you know, we got people who cook vegan, excellent cooks. You know, I told my daughter, I said, and this is not going to be the radio show, but I was just telling her, you know, they have kitchens that you can rent here in Cincinnati for like $20 an hour. All you got to do is get your cell phone or get a camera and let somebody videotape you and do the meals. You don't even have to show your face. Just show your hands putting the meals together. You know, that's all you have to do. If you want to show your face, that's fine, but you don't even have to do that. Because people need to know how. This thing is getting ready to blow up. I mean, when you start hearing me on YouTube more, I'm going to show you what I'm doing. Because I got some things in the works that's getting ready to start. I'm getting ready to start jumping off with them. Because this thing is really getting ready to blow up. It's already blowing up in some areas, but I mean really, really, really blow up. So, you know, we have a lot to look forward to, a lot to be excited about. And one thing about Yah, he gives you that preparation time. He gives you that time to get yourself together. He gives you that time to work on yourself. That's what Yahina is over here doing right now. She's working on herself because I know we getting ready to go forward. And when you do, he's giving you that. This is the preparation time. So whatever you need to get done, get it done. Because once we get ready to get going, you ain't going to be able to stop. For real, we got to get it going. All praises to the High and Holy One of Israel. Preparation time, that's what this is. You know, and we here now. There's no turning back. We can't go backwards. We can't do nothing but move forward. And that's the beautiful part about it. All praises be to the High and Holy One of Israel. You know, so I'm excited. I really am excited. You know, I try to keep myself at an even keel. You know, because when I first started, I thought we was ready, and, you know, we wasn't. He was just like, rump, rump. And I was like, dang, I got so many ideas I want to do. It wasn't time. It just wasn't time. But it is now. So, you know, we getting there. We getting there. It's coming. It's coming. All that comes with it, it's coming. All praises to the High and Holy One of Israel. Okay, I'm going to have to put you guys on mute for a minute. I'll be right back. All right, I'm back. I'm back. We're going to roll through with it for just a little while longer. You know, it's just a lot of things that we have going on. But just excited. I mean, you know, I'll tell you some things that's been going on around here, you know, in just a few minutes. I just got a few little seconds to go, and then I'll be able to just really share my information with you, you know. But I'm excited. I'm waiting on that call to come because that call is coming. You know, we know that call is coming. The ground has been set. The way has been made. The pavement has been walked on. You know, the connections are there. You know, all of it is in place. But you got to get yourself together. We got to get it together. I know some people are working on their health. Work on your health. You know, just a little bit at a time. Don't push yourself, but work on your health. Because you don't want to miss this right here. It's different from what, you know, we have been known, what we've seen. This is something totally different. So I just, all praise be to the Most High. I'm excited about it. I am really excited about it. I really, really am. We bless His holy name. Because He is worthy to be praised, and there's nobody like Him nowhere. All praises to the High and Holy One of Israel. You know, the sun is shining. We're about to move on out of here. That's crucial. You know, we talked about it, and we talked about it, and we talked about it, and it's about to be up on us. It's crucial. Woo! You know, that's what I tell everybody. Don't live like a hermit. Don't get rid of your stuff because somebody else going to have it anyway. You don't even think about this stuff. This is some stuff you ain't even going to. You're going to be like, I remember when. I was sitting at my desk in my house doing the radio show, and we don't have to do that no more. All that's over with. You know, I remember when. Woo! I used to drive such and such and such, so that is not going to be an issue anymore. Man, oh man, I don't know what we're going to be driving when we get over there. You know, we're going to have a city, or we're going to have some Mercedes. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know. But it's a little, it's exciting. It's a whole lot exciting. You know, that we have a strategy, an exit strategy that he has set aside for his people. You know, and say, we say, Poe no more. Poe no more. This, I had a real estate lady who had that on her license tag. She said, Poe no more. For real. I couldn't figure out. I'm like, what is she saying? And, you know, and that's what it was. She said, Poe no more. I said, hallelujah, I can understand. I'm with you 100%. All praises. You know, so anybody want to push one, please feel free to. I'm just biding my time until 4 o'clock. I will be, you know, fully free at 4 o'clock to do and say what I need to say and play what I need to play. I just don't want anything to interrupt it. I'll be right back. All right, Brother Yerushalayim, I see where you push one. All right, your mic is open. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Shalom, shalom, sis.
Shalom.
And you're right, man. This is an exciting time. It, you know, I just can't, you know, it's just, you're just wondering what's going to happen next. And you're saying all the stuff is being laid out there, you know. You know, for all we know, come Tuesday, we might be in civil war, sis. Says Trump saying he's going to be arrested Tuesday.
Oh, Lord.
It's funny.
Are they really going to, what, they said they're going to arrest him?
No, he came out and said that he's stirring up his base, his people. He said that he's going to be arrested Tuesday. And he calling for, you know, protests and all that stuff. So you know them folks are already going to start.
Yeah, that's true. That is so true. That is crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Well,
all
I mean,
tell our people stay out of it. Let them do what they do.
You know, you took the words right out of my mouth. You took the word. That don't have nothing to do with us. Nothing. You
nope.
know, let them fight among themselves because we don't care. No.
Nope.
Too much
give
going
me a bag of popcorn.
That's too much going on. That's too much going on. Yes, indeed. Yep, we just have to take one day at a time. Like I said, get prepared for the Most High to do what he said he's going to do because his word don't come back void. He is not going to tell a lie. He can't lie. He can't lie.
Nope.
All he can do is tell you what it is, and all you can do is believe what he say because he can't lie. All praises be to the High and Holy One of Israel. He just can't lie. What kind of Elohim is this, y'all, that we serve today? He's a powerful Elohim, man. And he's smooth with it. You know, he don't say a whole lot. He say what he mean. He mean what he say. And it's up to you whether you believe him or not. And it's like, well, you know, I can show you the show beat the tail every time, don't it?
Yes, it does.
The show beat the tail every time. You be like, Lord, have mercy. Here we go again. You know, it's a blessing. You know, we got something to look forward to. Even when you down and out, them days don't be what you want them to be, you got something to look forward to. You know?
All you got to do is, like you always say, all you got to do is trust him.
Yes, trust him. That's all you got to do is trust him, and he's going to make it all right. Yes, he is. He don't play. Yes, yes, yes.
Like,
praise his holy name.
It just seems like they're agitating everything up to the point where everything's going to probably just pop off at one time.
That's beautiful. I'm all for it. What about you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I am all for it. What about you? Because I'm all for it. Let's get it done. I mean, you know, let him reign. Let him rule and reign like he should because he the boss. Who can stop him when he get through doing what he doing?
It's all kind of little things that adding up that just popping out. Did you hear about the seaweed blob that's headed to Florida.
The what now?
The seaweed blob. There's a big old mass of seaweed. About the size of the width of the United States. It's headed to Florida. Yeah, a big old blob.
No, I ain't heard about that. I ain't know nothing about that.
Yeah. It's headed to Florida.
Hmm. That is insane. Wow.
It's pretty doggone big. It's pretty doggone big, too.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Wow. They were talking about how... I'm trying to pull it up now. They're talking about how big it is. That's the thing. You know, it's not dangerous, so to speak.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's twice the width of the United States heading to the Florida coast.
And it's seaweed.
Yeah, this big old block, 5,000-mile seaweed bloom.
Wow. That is insane. Let me see. That is insane. 5,000 miles. Yeah, that's what it said. That is crucial.
That is crazy.
Oh, Bob, they said what, stinky seaweed blob. Oh, my gosh.
I bet that keep them off the beach.
Yeah. That... Say, you ain't no, you have your clothes on for this one. That is insane. Hold on. Let me see if I can play this, y'all. Here we go. Listen to this. Wait. Let me see if it'll play. Oh, here we go. Wait a minute.
The 60-mile strand. All right, check this out. A new view of the seaweed blobs heading toward Florida. The 60-mile strand is so vast, you can actually see it from space.
Ooh, and there it is on the ground. It's moving through the Atlantic Ocean and has made it even to the Caribbean Sea. Most of the seaweed still hundreds of miles from the U.S., but some is already off the coast of Key Largo now. If too much of it comes on shore, it can overwhelm beaches, rot on the sand, and give off a really... nasty smell.
Mm-hmm. And Ivan Cabrera says we better get used to it.
Wow, that is insane. Wow, that is insane. Yeah, I mean, it's something is happening, that's for sure. It's crazy. I mean, you know, this, it's insane to hear the stuff that's going on. Let me see what they're saying about what's going on.
He's here with me now. I know you have been speaking to the Trump legal team. What is the broader strategy?
Margaret, good morning. Speaking to Trump's lawyer, Joe Tacopina, and other close allies of the former president, it's evident that in the coming days, with regard to a possible indictment, the legal strategy is going to be combative. They are going to question the scope of any possible felony that's issued for former President Trump. They're going to talk about the timing, and they're going to attack the credibility of Michael Cohen, the longtime Trump lawyer and Trump fixers who's at the center of this case over his payment. But there's a lot of debate in the inner circle about how combative to be, including the use of the word protest in the former president's social media language over the weekend. There's some consternation among some allies privately. Maybe that's a bit too far, but they do want to see solidarity with his supporters.
You're gesturing to security concerns there, too. Tell me about what's being planned. I mean, this is unprecedented territory. Bringing in a former president for potential indictment? I mean, how does this work?
What's so surprising in the reporting is that there's not much planning going on, at least between the Trump camp and the Manhattan District Attorney. People close to the former president say there are real gaps, tensions between the DA and the Trump team about how this could unfold, whether there would be a perp walk or cameras or the former president walking in, whether he would have a private entrance or not. What we do know is that the Manhattan District Attorney, Alvin Bragg, has informed his own colleagues that he will do everything he can to keep them safe, knowing the former president has called for protests. There's a lot of unease inside the Manhattan DA's office at this time. Whenever there is an indictment, should it come, it would be coordinated by NYPD and Secret Service and other local authorities. CBS News has learned there are some conversations among those entities at this moment.
This is also obviously a huge political story. Senator Lindsey Graham said yesterday the prosecutor in New York, quote, has done more to help Donald Trump get elected president than any single person in America today. Is that how the Trump camp sees it?
Well, Senator Graham is a longtime advisor and friend of former President Trump, and the Trump wing of the Republican Party sees this as a very similar moment to what happened when the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago, that this is going to create a lot of momentum for the president, the former president, in the 2024 race. And what you saw over the weekend right now is a lot of calls for Republicans to speak out in defense of Trump, to come out and say, we're with him, the DA's out of line. There's been pressure on Florida Governor Ron DeSantis to speak up more loudly about what is happening to Trump. Some DeSantis allies say they want to have him stay in his own lane. You see former Vice President Mike Pence, he is speaking up, calling any possible indictment politically charged, but he's not trying to weigh in too much on the specifics of the case. That's the balancing act you see from so many Republicans right now. Show anger towards the DA, but don't necessarily rally too much around Trump's side.
Right, and the Trump campaign has been issuing press releases, raising money off of this, and trying to call out those who haven't spoken yet in the former president's defense. But this is just one case in Manhattan. We know there are many other issues legally here, including at the Justice Department with what the special counsel is pursuing.
So he's trying to get something kicked up.
Yep.
Woo.
You know them, Trump supporters.
Oh, Lord. Well, guess what? Like you said, stay out of it. We ain't had nothing to do with this. Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Mm-mm. Area code 717, your mic is open. You're on the air.
I wanted to say about the seaweed that washed up on the shore. They're trying to ban all sea moss because of the benefits that it has. It's being presented before Congress. They're trying to ban it. So I believe the Most High just washed it up freely so people can go get it. Because it's really beneficial. I think God did this as a slap in their face. All the miles and miles of seaweed that washed up, and it's really good for you, but they're trying to ban it. If they ban it, you will be in trouble for having it. So I think that's
what
y'all do.
Wow, look at that. And how they going to know you have it? You know what I'm saying? Especially if you use it for medicinal purposes. If you don't, if they don't know nothing, they can't say nothing. You know what I'm saying? So
They'll stop the sellers, like coming in from the Caribbean and wherever other places it comes from. Yeah, that's what they're trying to stop because people are being healed. It's just like the herbs. So they are trying to pass this. You can look it up. And if it, Yah said, no way. Nope. He just washed it all up in the open.
Not today, huh?
Not today.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. That is just like
our Elohim.
Point is,
right now,
it is just like our Elohim. Woo! It's some exciting times that we live in today. It is exciting. I am telling you. Woo! Yeah, if they decide to do that, I don't think they'll do another.
Thanks.
I don't think they'll do another 2000. January 6th. I don't think they'll do that. But he got a lot of them. They coming. They ain't gonna be climbing in no windows and stuff. But they coming.
They gonna do something.
Yeah. They getting security hyped up like, oh no, you don't. No. Crucial.
But I think it's just really, it's funny to me to watch them fight each other like that because for so long it's just been black on black. And now all of a sudden they doing stuff to themselves, you know, and it's kind of funny.
Yeah, really. Yeah, real talk. That is real talk. Let me play this real quick. This might have something to do with him. Let's check. Here we go.
Widening panic.
Americans can rest assured that our banking system is safe.
But did the government's actions actually make the system healthier? I'll ask Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts. Plus, close encounters. A Russian fighter jet collides with a U.S. drone over the Black Sea.
We know that the intercept was intentional. We know that the aggressive behavior was intentional.
As tensions escalate, Vladimir Putin gets ready to welcome Chinese President Xi Jinping. at what could be a pivotal moment for the war. While the GOP's top 2024 candidates no longer see supporting Ukraine as a vital national security interest.
But the greatest threat to Western civilization today is not Russia. It's probably, more than anything else, ourselves.
Is the party of Ronald Reagan now embracing isolationism? I'll ask Republican Senator Mike Rounds of South Dakota. And a call for protest. Former President Donald Trump claims he will be arrested and calls on his supporters to protest as he faces the possibility of an indictment in New York City. As his legal threats grow, Trump tries to use this case about hush money and an affair to distract from the more serious charges he faces in Washington and Georgia.
The prosecutor in New York has done more to help Donald Trump get elected president than any single person.
Joining me for insight and analysis are NBC News White House correspondent Carol Lee, former White House press secretary Jen Psaki, former Republican Congressman Carlos Corbello, and New York Times chief White House correspondent Peter Baker. Welcome to Sunday. It's Meet the Press.
From NBC News in Washington, the longest-running show in television history.
All right, you guys, let me get past this part. I'm so sorry about that. Give me 1 second. Woo, there's so much stuff going on with this banking industry. They got to collapse it, though. It has to happen. It really does have to happen.
And a good Sunday morning. Brace yourself, folks. It is going to be a whirlwind of a week. It starts with the Russian president. He's hosting Chinese President Xi Jinping in Moscow. It's a pivotal moment in the war. That meeting's on Monday. China is considering whether to arm Russia because Russia's in desperate need of munitions for the war. TikTok CEO, under pressure from the Biden administration, which is threatening to fully ban the world's most popular app in this country, will be testifying on the Hill this week. And already, former President Donald Trump is attempting to create a circus-like atmosphere, hijack the media narrative, calling for protests ahead of what is an expected indictment sometime this week. It would be the first indictment of a former U.S. president in American history. But we're going to begin with the economy. 3 years ago this week, we probably need a little perspective here, folks, the world began a complete shutdown. Countries began sealing their borders, and social distancing became a catchphrase. This impacted our economy. 3 years later, after 760 million reported COVID cases worldwide, nearly 7 million deaths from the virus, we'd all like to memory hole COVID. But the fallout has been impossible to ignore. 47% of Americans admit it. They say their lives will never return to pre-pandemic normal, according to Gallup. Inflation, of course, has been a big fallout from this shutdown, and it remains stubborn. Government data on Tuesday showed the prices continued to rise in February. The Fed, trying to slow the economy gradually to curb inflation, has been raising rates at one of the fastest rates in decades, pulling back on so-called easy money policies. Supply chain has been slow to recover. The unemployment rate is super low, 3.6%. But millions dropped out of the workforce. Labor force participation rate is well off pre-pandemic highs. And we have a labor shortage because of our strict immigration policies in this country. And now the U.S. economy, which has remained resilient despite all of these challenges, is facing this new test, a crisis in the banking sector after the failures of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. On Monday, ratings agency Moody's cut its overall outlook for our banking system from stable to negative. Markets had a volatile week, down on Friday as regional bank stocks continued to slide. The Fed is also going to be meeting this week, and they're going to be considering another rate hike. Washington is divided, though, about what right now can be done to stem this crisis.
I'm going to ask Congress and the banking regulators to strengthen the rules for banks to make it less likely this kind of bank failure would happen again.
But it seems as though the regulators didn't do their job. I don't know. Legislation.
And joining me now is Democratic Senator Elizabeth.
So that's what's going on, you guys. That's all the stuff happening this week. This week. By itself. That's a lot going on this week. I'm serious. Woo wee. My Lord. And China is gone. Fund Russia, it could possibly give Russia ammunition. That's going to be huge.
That's going to be real.
And that's tomorrow. That's tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh-wee.
Well, you know they put that arrest warrant for Putin out.
Yeah, but you know what? That's the international court. They had an arrest warrant out for Bush, and they had one out for Hillary Clinton. They never did go to jail. So I don't know. I mean, you know, it's real serious. It's just, I don't know. Because they don't have no military behind them to make, you know, make jail a real option. People just laugh at it.
Uh-huh.
You know? It's crazy. It is some serious stuff jumping off.
Well,
you know, if China and Russia come together, that's going to be ugly.
Who's going to stop them? Not America.
No, right, right. Yes. Yes, they said the U.S. Manhattan D.A., and looked like he black.
Busy women are pocketing cash.
He's for a warrant for Donald Trump. Lord.
Again this morning with the new response from the Manhattan District Attorney to former President Trump's statement that he expects to be indicted. NBC News learning overnight that DA Alvin Bragg sent a note to his staff pledging they will be safe after Mr. Trump's calls to protest if prosecutors decide to charge him. NBC's Garrett Hake is near the former president's home in Florida. And Garrett, this seemed to be a clear reference to the former president from the DA.
Do you think they're going to make him do the perp walk? Oh, that would be ugly. Oh, that would be ugly. That's adding injury to insult. Oh, my goodness. I don't think they're going to do him like that.
Them Trump supporters would lose their mind. They would lose their mind if they did that.
Oh, my goodness. He said he going to be arrested Tuesday. Hold on. Here we go.
Hey, Hallie, good morning. It really did. And in response to those calls for protest, the DA writes in his letter in part, we do not tolerate attempts to intimidate our office, an office that could find itself at the center of an unprecedented political drama if indeed the DA moves to charge the former president.
Mm.
Donald Trump predicting his own arrest will come Tuesday, calling on his millions of followers to protest on his behalf and, quote, take our nation back in the face of what could be an historic first, the indictment of a former president. Mr. Trump making his claims on social media, citing what he called, quote, illegal leaks from a highly political Manhattan district attorney. Repeating that call to action in a later post, writing, protest, protest, protest. Republicans quickly rallying to his defense.
It reeks of the kind of political prosecution that we endured back in the days of the Russia hoax.
The House Speaker going even further, tweeting that he was directing relevant committees to investigate what he called the pursuit of, quote, political vengeance against the former president. NBC News was first to report Friday that law enforcement officials in New York are preparing for the possibility of Mr. Trump's indictment and arrest as soon as the coming week.
If the former president were to be indicted, he likely won't be going through the front doors of the courthouse here in Lower Manhattan. Instead, he'll likely enter through the district attorney's office with media and onlookers crowding in on both sides.
The Manhattan DA's case centers on whether then-candidate Trump in 2016 directed his attorney, Michael Cohen, to pay off adult film star Stormy Daniels, who claimed they had an affair a decade prior. Trump allies arguing that a New York City indictment would only help catapult him back to the White House. The former president attending the NCAA Wrestling Championships last night in Oklahoma. No further comment, Hallie, beyond those social media posts that so shook the political world.
Garrett Hake, live for us in West Palm Beach. Garrett, thank you.
Man, this getting ready to get interesting, y'all. Well, but it's political theater. You know, he going to run again. We already know that's what he going to do. You know, he going to run again. All praise. Incredible. Yeah, this is going to be a lot going on. It really truly is a lot. It's going to be a lot going on. But, we have to get here, you know, because he it's a possibility that he might be the one in office when we get ready to leave here. How fitting would that be? Real. Ooh, he the one signed it into law, and he'll be the one in office when we take our trip, when we leave up out of here. Because he the one signed it into law. It wasn't Obama. Obama, he was in office when it first took shape. But Trump was the one that signed it into law. He sure did.
Yes, he did.
Huh?
I was saying, yes, he did sign it into law.
He did. This is getting interesting. It really is. I mean, seriously interesting. You know.
But you know, they start some stuff. You know, all his supporters, you know, those folks crazy. They allowed to do anything. We say they won't go into the White House again. I don't think they will, but they'll cause anarchy in the streets.
Oh, yeah, no question about that. You best, yes, sir. Absolutely. They ain't going to do the White House thing no more, the Capitol building, because they ain't going to let them get up in there no more. That was a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Yeah.
They will not get up in there no more, but they will. They can protest now. They got a right to protest. No. Mm-mm. Well, we've been doing this a long time. We have seen many come and go. We
yep.
really have. We have watched the good, the bad, and the ugly. We didn't even see the criminals. So, you know, it's all a part of God's plan. It's going to be what he wanted to be. You know. Even Netanyahu back in office. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
So all that's playing a part in it because Netanyahu and Trump is they best buds. For real.
Yeah, you know, them people over there, they having riots and protests every day.
I know. Yes, sir. You better believe it. Yes, sir. They've been fighting over there like it ain't nobody's business.
Just like you said, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, like you said, now they talk about going into the wilderness. Already in the land, now they talk about going into the wilderness.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Hold on, let me get this on here so they'll know. Here we go. Look, check this out. Just give me 1 minute. Because they've been going to blows over there for real. It's crazy. Crazy.
They're the ones who need to crush our enemies.
Netanyahu and make plans to strengthen ties with Israel. And the Turkish church rises up in unity to help brothers and sisters rebuild after devastation and loss. All this and more coming up on this edition of Jerusalem Dateline. Hello and welcome to this edition of Jerusalem Dateline. I'm Julie Stahl. Palestinian terrorists killed an Israeli-American citizen in another deadly attack on Monday. Some are talking about a prolonged period of violence known as an intifada. Take a look. Palestinian terrorists shot and killed American citizen Ilan Ganelis on a main Israeli highway near the Palestinian Arab town of Jericho. The terrorists then shot at another car, set theirs on fire, and fled in another vehicle. A day earlier, a terrorist shot and killed two brothers, Hillel and Yagel Yaniv, as they sat in their car in the Arab town of Huwara, south of Nablus.
We expect difficult days ahead of us. It may be here in Judea and Samaria, in the Jerusalem area, or in the Gaza region.
Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant visited the site on Monday and says he has given clear instructions to the Israeli security forces.
Ensure readiness to face all threats. Reinforce troops and activities on the ground, and most importantly, reach and apprehend the terrorists.
After the brothers' murders, there's talk this recent violence could lead to a third intifada or uprising.
The general big picture is one of, I'd say, at least 3 months of continuous terror attacks by different Palestinian organizations and responses and countermeasures by Israeli security forces.
Former IDF spokesman Jonathan Konrikas says this could lead to what he called a rolling escalation.
We're coming into the month of Ramadan, which historically speaking, even though it's a holy month for Muslims, historically speaking, it's a month of terror for Israelis.
The attack in Huwara sparked unprecedented Israeli retaliation when hundreds of Israelis descended on the town to take revenge, clashing with Palestinians and setting houses, cars, and a junkyard on fire.
Now, wait a minute. Them is the people? What's going on? I mean, They've been fighting since they've been over there. It's incredible. That's why the Most High ain't gonna let us come in there. If we do go in there, if we have to go back there, it won't be before a moment. Because as soon as that person step up, we got to hit the road. Now that's when we'll be going into the wilderness. We got to hit the road with the quickness. Because these people over there fighting and killing each other, that ain't the land of peace. That ain't no peace. No, no. They've been fighting and killing each other since they've been over there. It's crazy.
And it ain't going to stop because they don't belong there.
No. It's crazy. It's stuff going on everywhere. It's crazy. It makes no sense. It's stuff going on everywhere.
We begin.
Here we go. Check this out.
In Iran and Saudi Arabia to reestablish diplomatic relations. We begin today's show looking at a new agreement between Iran and Saudi Arabia to reestablish diplomatic relations after a 7-year rift.
So Iran and Saudi Arabia have come back together. Why?
The deal was reached after 4 days of secret talks in Beijing in a sign of China's growing diplomatic power in the Middle East.
Uh-oh, China is gathering the troops out. Watch.
As part of the deal, Iran and Saudi Arabia have agreed to reopen their embassies within 2 months. China's top diplomat, Wang Yi, called the agreement a victory for peace.
I think this is a victory for dialogue, a victory for peace, offering significant good news for today's turbulent world.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres praised the deal, saying, quote, good neighborly relations between Iran and Saudi Arabia are essential for the stability of the Gulf region. The response in Washington was more muted. White House National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby said the Biden administration supports any effort to de-escalate tensions in the region, but he questioned if Iran is going to, quote, meet their obligations. Ali Shamkhani, the Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council, spoke Friday in Beijing.
Now, China is brokering a peace deal, y'all. China is. They brokering a peace deal.
$69.
With the other nations. Crucial. Hold on 1 minute. We're going to go to the one in...
Thank you again for having me. I think what we saw here last week on Friday is an uncharted territory for Chinese diplomacy. And I made sure with other Chinese scholars, and they say this has never happened before. China not only led mediation process, but also done so successfully with the added bonus without having the U.S. in the room at all. And this is pretty unusual, to say the least.
What is China's motivation to take a step like this?
So China's greatest interest in the region, as many analysts have pointed out, is peace and stability. It's a source of much of its energy imports, also for trade and investment. The Belt and Road Initiative marks this year a 10th anniversary, and these are all extremely important and primary goal for peace and stability.
Uh-oh, y'all, this is it. Watch. Watch. This is it.
They have been with whispers of Saudi Arabia distancing itself from the U.S. Call it a decoupling, if you will. Saudi Arabia is changing posture. It is already a major player in West Asia, but now Riyadh has global ambitions. It is diversifying its economy, opening up its society, pursuing an independent foreign policy that isn't hemmed in by American interests. And most importantly, Saudi Arabia is relegating religion to a more personal space, not making it the driver of their economic and foreign policy. The man leading the shift is Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. He floundered for a while with the war in Yemen and the Khashoggi episode. But he's no more the pariah. He's a central player who doesn't want to operate in the shadow of the U.S. any longer. Let me explain this with a quick recap. Saudi Arabia and the U.S. have been allies for as long as one can remember. It was a symbolic relationship. The Saudis gave the Americans oil, and the Americans repaid with military protection. No lectures on democracy or religious freedom. Those America kept for the rest of the world. So Washington got a steady supply of oil, and Riyadh built its petrodollar regime. The Saudis did not question America's military operations. But in 2018, this arrangement suffered a big jolt. A Saudi-American commentator, Jamal Khashoggi, was murdered, allegedly by the Saudi regime. The U.S. took this up publicly and promised to turn Riyadh into a pariah. Saudi Arabia did not like America's tone. Listen in to what its minister said last year.
The idea that one can impose values on other countries, His Royal Highness made clear, it does not work. It has not worked when the U.S. tried to impose values on Afghanistan and Iraq. In fact, it backfired. It does not work when people try to impose values by force on other countries.
Don't impose your values on us, said Saudi Arabia to the U.S. The U.S. also refused to support their war in Yemen, the Saudi war in Yemen. The rift widened. Saudi Arabia found other willing partners like Russia and China. Russia is a big oil producer. It is part of the oil cartel called OPEC Plus. Last year, when America wanted the Saudis to dump Russia, they refused. Biden even traveled to the country, he not very long ago, called a pariah. But the Saudis did not budge. Meanwhile, China emerged as a big investor, also one that doesn't talk about democracy or human rights. Suits everyone. The Saudis conveniently shut their eyes to the plight of Muslims in China. Power politics, you see, is a game of convenience. So gradually, the U.S. was edged out as the Russians and Chinese enter deeper into the fray.
Uh-oh.
This is the decoupling with America. It's work in progress. And like we said, Saudi Arabia wants to be a global power. Its de facto ruler, the Crown Prince, has a vision. It's called Vision 2030, a plan to diversify the Saudi economy, make it less reliant on oil, more modern, more open. This week, the Saudis took the latest step to realize this vision. They've launched a new global airline. It's called Riyadh Air, meant to compete with the likes of Etihad, Emirates, and Qatar Airways. Crown Prince MBS has big plans. He wants to turn Saudi Arabia's strategic location into an asset. The kingdom is located between Asia, Africa, and Europe. It's a market with a lot of potential. Riyadh Air will serve more than 100 destinations around the world by 2030. That's the promise. Riyadh Air is expected to add $20 billion to Saudi Arabia's non-oil GDP. It will create 200,000 odd jobs, direct and indirect. They've hired aviation industry veteran Tony Douglas to execute the plan. He was previously the head of Etihad Airways. The idea is to get him to replicate the success of Etihad. But here's the irony. Do you know who's funding these big ticket projects to move the economy away from oil? Saudi Arabia's oil giant Aramco. And it can splurge because Aramco has posted a record profit, a whopping $161 billion. A rise of more than 46% compared to 2021. So Saudi Arabia's mantra is clear. It won't abandon oil, but it won't rely just on oil to fill its coffers.
Yes,
and the plan makes sense. The biggest challenge for the rulers, though, will be the social transition. From a hardline Islamic nation that only sells oil to a kingdom that hosts music concerts and allows women to drive, Saudi Arabia is being liberalized. The dominance of religion is eroding. The latest proof is the list of Ramadan restrictions. Like I said, it won't be an easy transition, but it's a transition that must be made for a young country that has the financial resources and the regional clout to make a difference. Saudi Arabia is just getting started.
Wow, y'all, this is over with, boy. Saudi Arabia has left the United States and they are no longer partners. They have partnered with Russia and China.
Wow.
Wow. When didn't we say the petrodollar was getting ready to lose it? Oh, this is about to be over with. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord have mercy. You know, he got $161 billion. All we need is $9 billion. To Prince Salman, we need $9 billion. You can send it to us in a check. Our address is P.O. Box 40209, Cincinnati, Ohio 45240. We just need $9 billion. Just nine. That's all we need. Jeez. Woo! Can you imagine what that's going to mean? That means America will no longer be a superpower. If that petrodollar changes from the American dollar to any other currency, it's over.
Yeah, sure is.
You know what? If you can see the Most High just repositioning the players.
Yep.
Oh, and yeah. You know what? Before he made it so this country was the country. Now that the 400 years is over, he has been strategically repositioning the players. Crucial. That is insane. Well, I mean, what can you say? It says Saudi Arabia's master plan to destroy the U.S. Oh, Lord have mercy. I don't even know what to say. I mean, you know, this is just a lot going on. This the kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? You just be looking like, oh, my goodness. You know, Russia, China, oh, they said China, Russia, and Iran are to create a new world order. Hold on.
Roofers are furious.
Give me 1 second. They are creating.
A new world order is emerging. A new axis of world powers.
Did y'all hear that? Did you hear? Let me play that again. I got back to the. She said a new world order is emerging. Uh-oh, watch.
A new world order is emerging, a new axis of world powers with common grievances and one common enemy. No prizes for guessing which one, the United States of America, a country which has for decades tried to shape our world in its image and established its preeminence. In almost every facet of power, be it military, economy, technology, culture, or morality for that matter, it is America the world looks up to, all thanks to its global influence network. And, of course, the American PR machinery. But what if I tell you that things are changing? That America's global empire is crumbling. The hegemony of Western nations is dying. And a new alliance is looking to replace it. An alliance led by three countries. Russia, China, and Iran. The three most sanctioned countries in the world. They seem to have formed a rather informal alliance of convenience. A loose alliance of sorts which the West is calling a troika of tyranny and a triad of bullies. What have they done to deserve such titles, and can they really reshape the prevailing world order? Or will they instead push the world into further disorder? And above everything else, where does India fit in this new axis? Does it have any reason to worry? We'll find out over the next few minutes. Hello and welcome to Gravitas Plus. My name is Priyanka Sharma. A new global alliance is now in the making, an alliance between China, Iran, and Moscow. They're forging their strategic, defense, and economic ties. It doesn't take a genius to notice the pattern. Just look at some recent developments. Ever since Russia invaded Ukraine, the three countries have come closer. Yes, China is uncomfortable with the war, but it still provides Russia with a diplomatic umbrella. It is also helping Moscow economically by rejecting the G7's price caps on oil. The same case with Iran. It is still buying Russian oil and sending weapons in return. Yes, for the last 1 year, Tehran has sent countless kamikaze drones. And if reports are to be believed, it might just send ballistic missiles by this October. These deals are being accompanied by state visits. Leaders and officials from all three countries have been frequently flying to each other's capitals. In July last year, the Russian president went to Tehran. He met his counterpart, Ebrahim Raisi, and discussed strengthening bilateral ties. Contrary to expectations, Iran didn't downplay this visit. In fact, it rolled out a red carpet for Vladimir Putin. The Iranian oil minister personally went to greet Putin. And then in November, a group of Russian security officials visited Iran. Their aim was to find ways to counter Western pressure on both countries. Syria is another good example. Another good example of the Iranian and Russian interests coming together. For years now, both sides have been trying to keep Bashar al-Assad in power. Their only aim is to counter American interests in Syria.
Just last week, the U.S. shot down Iranian-made spy drones in Syria. And if we speak of Russia, despite being militarily involved in Ukraine, Russia still maintains a military presence in Syria, an indication that it's not leaving the country anytime soon. And if we speak of Russian and Iranian cooperation in Syria, it's a tale that gets murkier the deeper you dig. Russia continues to provide a decisive cover to Syrian and Iranian-backed ground forces in Syria.
That is crucial, y'all. All I can tell you is from all that, we can ready to go home. I agree. Woo! Man, oh man, oh man. A new world order. She said that they are forming a new world order. A new world order. Woo! Anybody got a comment? Please feel free to push one. Anybody that's mic already open, you are welcome to add to the man, oh man. I know everybody's sitting on their feet like, wow. We are getting ready to go home. Lord, have mercy.
And it just happened so quick, too. Just poop, poop, poop.
Yeah, it sure did. But you say poop, poop, poop.
Yeah. I mean, it just,
yes.
It's
incredible. It's incredible to watch the Most High. He's smooth with it, though. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, boop, boop, boop. The Most High just move in and tell everybody, okay, now this is your part. I need you to do this and this and this and this. And I need you to renounce this and come over here with them. And this is where I want you to be. So y'all need to do so. My word won't come back void. Because I said it was going to be a new world. It's going to be a one world government. And it's going. I need everybody. It's just incredible. When you know the pieces to the puzzle and you can watch them come together, this is some incredible stuff. Hold on. Area code 540. Your mic is open. You on the air.
Yeah, I just want to go ahead on and say that, in the words of Danny Don Meredith, turn out the lights, the party's over.
Hallelujah. Man, oh, man, oh. I mean, this is incredible. This is truly incredible. He said a new world order. They getting ready to change a one world government. Oh, my goodness gracious and mercy. Woo, that is insane. The pieces to the puzzle. The pieces to the puzzle. That's crucial. Hold on, Brother Leonard, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yeah, that it's a civil war going on in Israel, too.
We displaced that. I know. They over there. They over there tearing up. Yes, we just played that. They over there tearing up. Yes. All praises, and then all of them is strategically coming together against the United States, against this country. Like I said, Prince Ben Salman, I think that young man is only like 34 years old. Let me see how old he is. I looked him up, the Saudi Arabia prince. You know, he about. Let me see how old he is. This young man, he's young. His name is Mohammed bin Salman. He is how old? He was born in. How old is this young man? He got to be about 34, 35. He ain't that old. Billions of dollars. Billions of dollars, probably more than billions of dollars. Incredible. He's 37 years old. 37 years old. Unbelievable. 37 years old. Was born in 1985. Incredible. You know, that would have been us. But we on our way back. You know, we on our way back. on our way back. All praises to the Most High, Yah. Hallelujah. That was $161 billion profit. That ain't all they have. That's just the profit they made. Incredible. Woo! It's unreal. It's happening, you guys. It's happening right in front of our face. It's happening. It is happening right in front of your face. All you can do is just watch. Because I told you, we talked about that petrodollar years ago. When that changes, it's over. When that changes, we are no longer a superpower. And this oil thing is changing everything. Well, I don't even know what to say on that one. I just really don't know what to say. I mean, you know, it's just, hey, Lord have mercy. Whew. And you know, everybody said it ain't going to be too much longer. It ain't going to be too much longer. We getting ready to leave here. I've seen the Lord showed me this, and this is going to happen, and this and this. You know what? It's happening real quick. Like you said, boop, boop, boop. You know, you're like, what is going on? You know, it's just like we said, it's like the 400 years. We talked about it, and we talked about it, and we talked about it, and we talked about it. And what happened? One day, Livia was being, she was doing her research and said, I got something to show you. And then from there, we dismissed it like, well, we'll see if that come to pass. And sure enough, it came to pass. It validated what we were saying. The Most High backed up his word. And he can ready to do the same thing. We can ready to do this thing one more again.
Yeah.
That is incredible. Incredible. A new world order. Y'all heard her. She said they're developing a new world order. I mean, not only just the Saudi Arabians, but the people that, those are the people that have control over the Mount Sinai. Those are the same people that, oh my goodness, Lord have mercy. Woo! Oh my, and they wait, now they got tours where people go on to Mount Sinai over in Saudi Arabia. He done set open up tours for people to go up in there.
Bet they won't let us go, though.
Incredible. It's incredible. It is truly something. I tell you, you know, you try not to get too excited because you want to leave right now, but you can't help it. You just can't help it,
yeah.
You know, because one day we're going to be going home. We're going back to the land of Canaan. We're going home to the land that was given to our forefathers. And you know what? The Most High is fixing it where these nations, all of them, are going to play a part in making sure we get where we're supposed to get. And like I said, all we need is $9 billion. We need about $9 billion to get us started. Just to get us started, we need $9 billion. You know, we'll accept it. Just send us a check. We good. You know, the Bible say you have not because you ask not, you know. And it's going to come from men. It ain't going to fall out the sky. So I'm just saying. You know. $9 billion. We need $9 billion. We got work to do. I'm asking. We need $9 million. This is Princess Yaina from the royal house of King David asking. We need $9 billion. To be sent to the nation of Yehuda. And Yehuda is spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H. And the address is P.O. Box 40209, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45240. 45240. I mean, you have not because you have not. And these people out here got this. Let's move out. It's time to get, I roll up our sleeves and go to work. You know, this is going to take folks leaving their job and putting some effort in this. You know? All praises be to the Most High. We got to get this message out there. Like Sister Sinai said, These churches is inviting some of these groups to come, and that's a beautiful thing. We need to get this thing up rolling because we can make a home in a minute. And I know the Most High got it. I'm not overstepping. I'm just getting excited. I ain't going to do nothing. I'm just talking. I'm getting excited because I ain't going to move till he say move, but this is something to get excited about. He's getting ready to put everything back the way it's supposed to be. Incredible. Woo! You know? Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Hallelujah. I hope you're ready. What did we say? Ready or not? Here we come.
Yeah, I got a high-tech question.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was listening to a couple of weeks ago, calling no names, but they were saying that they didn't see, well, we going back on those ships. And the guy was saying how that he looked at 30 different scriptures, verses, was talking about ships, and none of them ain't saying nothing about us going back in ships. So I was wondering what you guys thought about that.
There is some scriptures that talk about us. Where is it? Is it the ships of Tarshish?
That's what I was saying. When I heard that, the first thing I thought about was Isaiah chapter 60. That's the verse you talked about.
Yeah.
So yeah. I was lost when you said that.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, they get so excited and they so hyper, you know, they so hyper supernatural that they, I mean, you know, and to be real honest with you, however way the Most High want to do it. But from the way it's been done in the past, and he says, I'm Yah and I change not. When you look at the way they went into Egypt, they walked into Egypt, and when their captivity was over, they walked out. And we were shipped over here, and I believe, according to the scripture, that when it comes time for us to leave, we're going to be shipped out. And it's just been too much confirmation for that. You know, and you got to really be careful because, you know, you just don't know where if some of them folks get on some of them other vehicles, you don't know who that is. So, you know, for real, because you know the scripture says that if any of thine be taken out to the outermost parts of the heavens, you know, I will gather you from there. So you got to really be careful because some people are going to be taken somewhere they ain't supposed to be.
Right. Yeah, I would
stick to what's common, what I know. The Most High ain't said that, but if he do, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I was looking at another thing. I was looking at was the fact that a lot of people don't really see that way, I guess. But when like what we're looking at now, we see that NATO and the NATO nation, the West, which is NATO and America's fighting against Russia, right? But they all JFAC. So that's nothing new. That's nothing new because the Lord of Hosts back in the day, he turned the when the Syrians came, and they posted up outside of Israel, and they wanted to. He told Hezekiah and them that they was gonna feast that night, and in the morning they was gonna come in and ramshack Israel. Well, that night, it says the angel of the Lord came among them and turned them in against each other.
Right.
And when he came out there, so that's one of his characteristics that I noticed nobody talked about. But we're looking at it first. We're looking at it wholesale right now. He's turning everything, just like what's going on in Israel. He's turning them in. He's turning everybody in against each other. And he did that in He did that in Genesis with the giants. Because it's giants. That's another thing people don't look at in Ham lineage. It shows you from Genesis 10. Verse 13 to 20, those are all giants. So, them giants are all over the name of the kingdom.
That's the truth.
Genesis chapter 15, that Baal, when Abraham went, when Lot got caught up in that war, that was the war. A giant was fighting against each other. He turned them in against each other. The Baal of Zion.
And they still over there now. They still running in the giants coming out of them caves and stuff now.
Exactly.
They're all through there.
But they don't think that's scripture, though.
Well, they'll see it one day. Some things you got to see with your own eyes. That's just as plain as that. You just got to see it with your own eyes. Some
right.
things you got to see with your own eyes, and you'll be made a believer. Because a lot
right.
of them don't believe in the giants. They don't believe in none of that.
Right.
But they'll be able to see it with their own eyes in just a little while. Because the military people is telling, they telling, they, if you look, you all you got to do is pull up YouTube. Military just talking about giants being taken to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Giants been taken out of Kandahar. Giants out of Afghanistan. Giants all over, out of Syria, Damascus. Giants everywhere. They ain't went nowhere.
Okay.
So they talking about it all over the internet. The military folks see it. You know, so they'll get to see it with their own eyes. What do you say? The men's hearts is going to fail them for what their eyes is going to see. They for real. That is the truth. It's just sad, but I mean, you know, all you can do is tell them. It's up to them to read it. They might not believe it. You know?
Right.
But it ain't nothing you can do. But Isaiah 69, it's 60 and 9 says, surely the isles shall wait for me, and
right.
the ships of
exactly.
is first to bring
right.
my sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Most High thy Elohim, to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified thee. Yeah.
Right.
You know, so we just have to wait and see. You know, they didn't believe in the 400 years either until the Most High had to make them turn it into a law. And then everybody shut up after that. They didn't
yeah.
believe in that. So.
Yeah, I think it's
verse 4.
I think it's verse 4 or 5 up in Genesis and Isaiah, that same chapter, where he says he's going to convert the forces of the Gentiles to Israel. So that's NATO. That's NATO, Russia, that's all over NATO countries.
And the Gentiles shall come to thy light and kings
well,
to the brightness of thy rising. Yep.
Right.
It says, lift up thy eyes round about and see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Thou shalt see and flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Yeah.
That's the west.
Yeah. It's getting ready to be a powerful thing. It is getting ready to be a powerful thing. And he positioned them in place, too. Woo! This is exciting. Well, you guys, our show is over. It's time for us to go on in. I have enjoyed it. I'm excited. I'm ready for the Most High to do what he said he's going to do. And we just keep on praying and keep on holding on to his word and trust him, and it's going to be all right. And on that note, I want you guys to have a wonderful rest of your week. Don't forget to keep us in prayer. Pray for us. Pray. And we're going to be back here at our regularly scheduled time next week. Don't forget that next Saturday at sundown, I think it'll be 7 days for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then we have to do the 8th day fast, which is going to be, the 8th day is going to be that Sunday all the way to at even, which will make the 8th day, and then we'll be done with that. But, you know, just be encouraged. Don't eat no yeast. Just chew on some unleavened bread for 7 days. And on that note, we say shalom, shalom to everybody, and we'll see you guys next week. Shalom, everyone. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.